Thank you. I apologize if the combined baldness has created any issues with your eyes. Just blink quickly a few times and you should be fine. Thank you for allowing us to have an opportunity to come and share with you. This church has been a powerful support to us as we have had the opportunity to minister in Cambodia. So thank you for your prayers and your partnership during that time. And there's a verse that Melissa and I in particular cling to in our journey through this mission together, and it's Nehemiah 8:10, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. And I love the context that this verse was shared in, because it parallels to so many things that we've seen and experienced in Cambodia. At the time, the Israelites had just returned from Babylonian captivity. They'd returned home and they were in the middle of a religious and social restoration after years of disconnection with God. And as Ezra read the law to the people, they were overcome with grief as they realized just how far it was they were that they had been distanced from their father. But the call, as he was reading, was not to be sad. The call was to rejoice, because they were being drawn back to the heart of God. And this is exactly what we're seeing in Cambodia and are blessed to be a part of. As the country continues to move from its traumatic history of genocide and war and loss, what we are seeing is the church rise up and draw the country back to the presence of God. And we are seeing lives transformed and drawn back into the presence of God. And as difficult as things have been, both for the nation and personally, we see that God is moving. He is moving in every moment. He is moving in every life. He is moving in ways that we can't even begin to understand. So what we want to do is share some photos and tell a few stories and draw you in to just exactly how it is that we are seeing God move. And so as we get started, as Mark said, we've been in Cambodia for 12 years, and this is a shot of the city 12 years apart. And you can see just from outwardly how much things have drastically changed, but that's only the beginning.
The first 5 years that we were working at the training organization, giving skills, giving training, giving employment to survivors of sex trafficking. This next photo will show you that this ministry happened to involve cake. So I chose joy because I got to eat a lot of cake. Actually, it was a big thing. We're bringing in women that have been living out in the provinces, out in the villages, dirt floors, and all of a sudden we're teaching them to create and decorate these. So we had to taste and make sure that it was actually cinnamon and not cumin that was in the recipe, because that happened.
And so for the following four and a half years, we spent time leading what is Cambodia's largest anti-trafficking organization that worked in areas of prevention, trying to deal with systemic issues to prevent trafficking before it started. Rescue, going into working with the police and bringing people out of slavery and captivity. Restoration, providing spaces where they could get the physical, emotional, spiritual healing needed so that finally they could be reintegrated back into the communities with good job skills in order to provide for themselves and their families, because the expectation is, kids pay attention, children provide for the parents, not the other way around.
So in this 12 and a half years now, we have had many moments of joy. We have had many moments of heartache. And through those moments, we choose joy intentionally. We remember the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's not us. It's nothing we can do ourselves. It's not our own power. It's not a day at the spa or something. Like, that's not what provides. I don't know why that came out, but I've never had a day at the spa. But it's nothing like that that provides our strength. And we've been really thankful knowing that the next generation of children, with many of these women and men that we're working at, these children are not going to be trafficked. They have different paths ahead of them because of the safe space that their parents are in now. And we've experienced a lot of heartaches knowing some of the women that we have worked with that have gone back into being trafficked. They have trafficked others as a result of the trauma, as the result of some of the things that they have gone through. So we're experiencing joy, extreme joy, and extreme heartache every single week when we're over there.
And as Mark mentioned, our passion has always been to teach, to train, to support, to disciple local leadership, because we don't want to come in with a knowing posture and a telling attitude, but instead it's that call of 1 Peter 3:15, right? I'm going to share with you the joy that I have. I want you to know why it is that I feel the strength of the Lord and why I celebrate in His presence, but I'm going to do it with gentleness and respect. And in the end, all of the things that we're looking to, they're examples straight out of the Bible, how to develop the fruits of the Spirit in these leaders, because ultimately what we want to do is come alongside and create kingdom culture, a culture combined where we're living and serving as Christ has called us all to serve, but in a way, contextually, that works for leaders, for them to disciple in a way that brings in additional Cambodians, not necessarily in the way that I would do it on my own.
The next photo shows some of the homes that these women that we're working with have lived in and other similar situations. They've lived in boats over the water, or in stilted homes right over the waterfront, and you see the big city right behind it and all the skyscrapers and life and money, and this is where people are going back to live many nights. And the women in the next photo are one of the groups of leaders that I work with. They are right here. These are women that are strong and mighty, and they're from communities at risk. They are the faces of resilience. They have been told most of their lives, including up to this day, that they have little to no value. And because of the work that multiple Christian groups are doing that we get to partner with, these women are learning about their identity in Christ. They are experiencing love from a heavenly Father, and this love is different from any human love they have ever known, if they have ever known that. I have women that have said, no one has ever said, I love you. No one has ever said, I am proud of you. Things that I grew up hearing, that you grew up hearing, and this is new to them at the age of 30, to have someone say, you're doing a great job. I believe in you. So these women are absolutely incredible.
So this next photo, this one stings me a little bit. This was taken from a hotel room in the middle of Phnom Penh during COVID. And during that period of time, we were living in what I call a period of triage. The city was locked down, people are starving, and we're figuring out how to get them the basics in order to make it through the next day. And over again, I was reminded in my heart of Psalm 75. Lord, I am poor and needy. Come quickly to me, O God, because you are my help and my deliverer. And that is exactly what we saw. Even as dark as it was in the clouds you see in the picture here, we could rejoice and be glad because we saw His people working to bring necessary supplies to those who were isolated, to those who were at risk. And as the psalm said, when the sky was darkest, He showed His greatest.
And you all know, we were introduced to so many of you 4 years ago. And you know how God has worked in our lives and our hearts, and the healing God has done. Mark mentioned Matthew's graduating with his master's, but what he didn't say is that he's graduating with his master's after having had two strokes. So it's just, I will be a bawling mess. And so this is a picture. I had been stuck in quarantine, which you're locked in. Like, I could not get out of the room or out of the hotel where they had put me in, and he had a stroke, and that's the moment I was reunited with Matthew, and I was so thankful because God was with us every single moment, and even though it was difficult, the joy of the Lord was my strength, and I had a peace even through the heartache, and God has just absolutely walked by our sides during this journey in Cambodia, and And we stepped away, after this moment, we stepped away from the organization that we had been working with, but we still felt called to be missionaries in Cambodia. I remember just praying, Lord, we really want to be there. You're calling us away from this, but please don't send us back to America. I mean, we love it here. I love the berries and the beef and the cold weather, but I don't want to live here. I want to be back in Cambodia. And we experienced God's healing like through that journey. And we were absolutely directed by him. It was like doors were opening and we watched them happen in ways we've never seen before.
And we were surprised by the way that God unfolded this next chapter of our lives, because as we stepped into this new season and the world was starting to step out of the restrictions and things that COVID had brought, we were asked by a lot of individuals and organizations to come alongside and partner, because a lot of the Western leadership had left and left these Cambodian organizations kind of not particularly understanding the what's and the hows of the whys of even how to run these organizations. And all of a sudden, these young men and young women that we had opportunity to disciple were in leadership positions and carrying responsibilities that they weren't necessarily understanding or equipped to do. And so again, Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, together we're coming and sitting with them and allowing them to ask questions that they'd never been able to ask before, because again, culturally, you can't speak back to any kind of authority. And we weren't their boss, which gave them freedom to kind of push into spaces and grow in ways that they'd never experienced before. So our opportunity to simply be present, to sit with them, to pray, to pursue scriptural answers to questions that they had, it began to unfold into this new beautiful season where we got to see some of these leaders excel in ways that we never could have anticipated.
In that season, we started working a lot with some prevention, Christian prevention, jet lag. Some Christian anti-trafficking organizations, and this is one of them. This is the entire group of the Clean Water Organization that you as a congregation have supported. And we just realized through this organization, how many women that had been rescued and reintegrated were, after being trafficked, they were going back to their villages, and they were being re-trafficked because they would get so sick just because of not having clean water. I don't think about how much clean water I drink every day, like, oh, is this safe? Is this not safe? Well, we think about that in Cambodia, but we don't in America, right? They bring you a glass of water, you drink it. There, if you get the wrong glass of water, you're not going to be able to go to work. Your kid is not going to be able to go to school. You don't have enough money to pay for the $3 medicine, and all of a sudden those bills add up and someone is being re-trafficked. And so this organization is working so hard to bring clean water and access to families that have none. And so the more we travel out in the rural villages and see what they're doing, the more we see the impact and the lives that are being changed for just dollars. And then this takes me to remote parts of the country with this organization. And so I get to see progress. I get to hear the impact stories. I get to encourage people that are working daily on this challenge of the access to safe water. Most of these conversations are done in the Cambodian language. I speak about 65% of that, and I'm learning how to read and write. I'm very slowly. I'm like Cat in the Hat, Dr. Seuss level, but it's fun. And I'm learning what I'm saying right and wrong, and I've said many things wrong with a microphone, and people have been very gracious and gentle as we continue to learn together. I also get to come aside these different anti-trafficking groups with encouragement and devotions. I get to help connect them to needs and resources. And the group that you're going to see in the next picture is a group of women who all drive tuk-tuks. And this has typically been a man's job. And these ladies, they're not guaranteed daily work. Many of them are single women. Their children can be at risk based on what the season is. Is it high season? Do people want to ride with them? Do they not? Are they getting the jobs? And so one by one, they're coming to know Jesus. And that's the thing that is just so cool. They've been told they have no value, but now they're knowing that the value they have, which is incredible, does not come from what people are saying, does not come from their past, does not come from what their job is. That's not their identity. And so we're working with them because they continually see women and children at risk. And I'm working on ways to connect them with more anti-trafficking organizations so they can use those resources when they see others at risk of being trafficked. And then I will let you talk. I'm also working with the Freedom Business Alliance, which is connecting regionally for freedom businesses and anti-trafficking groups that provide jobs for survivors in Thailand, Vietnam, Cambodia, and Laos. And a couple of the people that I'm working with, you can see in here, it's an international group, and almost 50% of the freedom businesses that are supporting anti-trafficking efforts are actually in the U.S., and the other are in Asia, and so it's just a gift to do that. And then I get to work with churches that are coming over, and I get to connect international groups with service projects and work with vision teams to connect needs and resources. That's my passion, needs and resources for in a kingdom culture, and God has just continued to show what he has available, which is everything, right? It's been really overwhelming to be able to do that and help smaller projects. We're working with one currently, and their operating budget is $1,000 US a month, and that's impacting 120 kids for that price. And so we get to connect them with resources and some curriculum from America, actually, to help with their Bible program.
So as they've shared already, as I have graduated from the program and am kind of moving into the next phase of where I'm working, I get to do more of this connection and development with leaders of these organizations. Again, some of these young men have now been put in directorship positions, and this ability to come alongside them and partner with them and give them a space to pray together. Again, this iron sharpening iron. There's probably about 6 to 8 of these guys that I meet with. And again, the details, I love seeing how God does this. Vicarious trauma and burnout is a serious problem with a lot of people in these positions. And now I've got different tools and abilities when I sit with them. I mean, the prayer and the spirit, forget about it. There's nothing better. But for them to have some practical tools in order to care for themselves and families better is going to be very important. Cambodia is rampant with fatherlessness. It's a key issue to the development of young men. So the creation of these discipleship groups where boys can learn to be fathers, all of these young men now having opportunity to have their own families, but having no idea how to do that, how to be a father, how to be present. Again, when I think about this, it pulls me into the verse from Hebrews 10, 24 and 25, stirring each other to love and good works, meeting together. We cannot neglect to meet together. And I love seeing the power and the passion of the mission, the ministries here, men's and women's ministries that you guys do. You understand the importance of this, of gathering together, because that's where encouragement and community happens and develops. And so the larger plan then in working with the anti-trafficking groups that we have is to develop a training program to be used inside of the facilities where the restorative practices take place. Good trauma-informed care training, good practices for people, and vicarious trauma training for the people who work on the floor with these girls every day. Again, getting to come alongside the Cambodian leadership, not standing in front and trying to do it ourselves, but building them up and supporting and training them to do the work that God's called them to do in leading these girls to healing and restoration.
I'm thankful because in the ministry work that we're doing, that we did for the first 9 years, I didn't have the capacity for any music in my life. And those of you that know us know that music was all of our lives. And so I now have the opportunity to work with music within our local international church. We have a Chinese service, a Cambodian service, and an English service. And I get to work with all of the different music teams. And that's just been incredible. I can lead worship in Cambodian. I can't lead it in Mandarin. I can sing Away in a Manger in Chinese, and that's it. But I get to work with them, and it's really been fun. So we get to do choirs and worship teams. And recently, I have a photo up here, I've been able to work with children of missionaries. It was really on my heart that some of these kids were over here because of what their parents were doing. And so it's just a gift that I'm able to work with them and give them some of the same opportunities like the teens up on the stage today that bless my heart.
So what's happened for us over the course of the past 12 years is that we've gotten to get down even deeper to the nitty-gritty, to get to the grassroots level with water and with trauma training to deal with some of these systemic issues that we maybe didn't have access to before, to have trust in relationships that only could be developed through that amount of time. So these organizations, many of them that we work with, they don't have social media teams or marketing teams, and they're not groups that you would hear of necessarily, but they're impacting their local communities, again, on a grassroots level. Here's a school that Melissa mentioned earlier. They've got 100 students in a deeply, deeply dangerous trafficking area. And they're teaching Bible on Fridays because they're giving skills, English. They're giving English skills that the parents value that can get them a better job. But then there's spirit transformation taking place. We're seeing baptisms weekly from these kids with a powerful Bible curriculum partnered through another church. These are the types of places that we feel like we get to get in and connect with deeper and deeper, because these are the weak and the vulnerable that God is calling us to come alongside and protect in Psalm 82:3. And it's taken 12 years of being there and working and connecting with people to be able to get to this depth of the things that we're being able to do.
So part of what we're doing is continuing to help find jobs, supporting education, helping people's networks grow. This is a pastor and his wife, and pastors over in Cambodia don't get salaries, so they have to have a different type of income. And so this pastor and his wife are woodworkers, and so they make all of the little ornaments that we brought that are in the back. And they actually make much bigger things, and when I requested ornaments, they were really concerned that I wanted a hole in what I was asking them to make, and it took multiple times going back and forth of, yes, we want a hole in this. But it's incredible to be able to come alongside, support them in their little village, and then the other artisans who come and paint and do the sewing. And basically, we're helping women who used to be in some dangerous factory situations, people that were at risk for trafficking, people's very low income. The average salary is $204 a month. That's minimum wage in the factories. And so we're dealing with many people that don't even make minimum wage. And we just want to give them opportunities and through that share about the love of Christ. If you go to the next photo, you can see these are some of the other women that we support. And we're wearing shirts that say Niri Klahan. Niri Klahan is a phrase in the Khmer language that means brave women. It means strong women. And so what we do is we share this with people in America because there's a proverb that these women have grown up all of their lives hearing. And that basically says, men are like gold, and if they get dirty, you brush it off and keep using it. Women are like cloth, and if it gets dirty, you throw them out and get a new one. And this is how these women have been raised. This is how they feel about their value until they come to know who they are in Christ. And so we have things that say Niri Klahan, and we make them in gold, just reminding, like, these are brave women, these are strong women. They are not being identified by what has happened to them in their past, and it's pretty pretty exciting to be able to support them in some very creative ways.
Psalm 37, 4-6. Commit your way to the Lord and he will act. This is not how we expected God to act. We did not expect to end up in Cambodia, and we did not expect for him to move us in and through Cambodia the way that he has. We have sort of tagged our ministry stock replugged because he unplugged us from Eugene and plugged us into Cambodia. And he has given us the joy in the situations that seem helpless, as he's promised in Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians 3:16. And he gives us joy that's not based on our circumstances, because what we have or don't have is not what's important. What we are missing out on, we're not missing out on anything because we have him, as he declares in Psalm 16:11. And you guys have been, again, a huge piece of us being able to be there, follow God's call. And I think I'm going to let Melissa kind of finish up with a story that I think will help kind of draw this all together.
So this happened just last week and 3 weeks ago. So 3 weeks ago, we were painting that little school that you saw up there. We're just doing some fun things for them. And we've been working with them. We've known the leader of that school for 9 years now. And so there's a lot of trust, and the kids will come around, and we were talking with this young boy. He was 12 years old, and this is a photo of just the general community that he comes from, but I didn't want to show a specific house or place, but just giving you the idea of what it looks like. Anyways, he was there helping us one day, and then we came back the next day, and he was still helping. And I just said, why is he not in school? And she said, oh, well, he's 12, and they took him out of school when he was 6 or 7 because he's the one that takes care of his younger siblings, and he does all the cooking for the household. He does all the cleaning for the household. He's just like, he's a little man of the house. And I just thought that was a bit disconcerting. We're living in a village where this does sometimes happen, and it's usually young women that are trafficked. And so we brought him over, and we just started talking, and I asked him, you know, tell me about life. And he's sharing, and he said, oh, in April, I'm going to Thailand because I'm going to start working there, and I'm going to help my family. And he's so excited that he can bring in an income and do what he thinks is needed. And instantly, I just had these red alarms, and I'm like, no. And I'm thinking, I went back to the hotel, and I called him just crying. I'm like, this is not okay. We can't know in advance that this is happening. Most of the time, you hear after the fact, and then you go out, and that's what all of the rescue is for, right? And I just said, we know, and God has put people and organizations in our lives so that when we hit this moment, it doesn't have to just stay there, and we say, oh, well, that's too bad. April. And so we made some calls and connected some people that were locally working there with that village. And they sent me a picture last week. And you'll see this next one. He is not going to Thailand this month. And he is going to school. Ooh, and the heart moved. You weren't supposed to see his face. So we can just go on to the next one. I try to protect the privacy. I am not good with technology.
That's okay. That's okay. Yeah, he doesn't normally walk around with a heart above his head, but I guess it works for the story. But again, thanks again for allowing us to come to share with you. We're going to step down now, and we're going to share a short video that's going to bring you into a little bit more of our world day by day. And just thank you again for your prayers, your support. It is such a joy to be back here with you again. I'm thankful she let me show up this time to be with you. But seriously, thank you for all that you've done to make this possible.
Awaken your children. Savior, the sovereign over all. May we